The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Winter pansies put on a show during the fall and then come out for an encore in spring. It's time for these tough plants to be planted now. We'll tell you all about them in our first segment.
Walking through the nursery, I found myself admiring how full of flowers the abelia is right now. It almost never stops flowering. We'll tell you all about the benefits of growing abelia in that landscape in our second segment.
Fall bulbs are here, and Julio and I are going to take two segments to discuss planting, feeding, and how to care for them. Daffodils are up first in our third segment.
In our fourth segment, we're talking tulips, colors, bloom time, how to plant, and what to do after they're done blooming. Hear all about it in our fourth segment.
We received a call on the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. This listener has a wisteria that stopped blooming. We'll have tips for this beautiful vine to get it flowering again in our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we're back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com. And we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Do you remember seeing that tall, light green grass growing high in your yard last year in late June? That was nutsage grass. It's a weed. Nutsage is a third classification of grass. We have grasses, which comprise of plants like tall fescue, ryegrass, and bluegrass. Then the classic broadleaf weeds like dandelions, clover, and chickweed. And finally, there are sedges. These plants need a special material to be used to get rid of them in your yard. The traditional broadleaf weed control will not kill these pesky sedges. There is an answer. Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsage Control kills both yellow and purple nutsage, plus over 50 broadleaf weeds such as dandelions, clover, chickweed, and ground ivy. Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsage Control gets absorbed by the roots and leaves, and within days, the sedges are gone. You may even reseed after 4 weeks of spraying the nutsage. So when you start seeing those light green grass blades growing in your yard, use Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsage Control to kill any nutsage threatening to invade your nice dark green grass.
Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville, Do It Best, Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome, everybody, to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, Len, with a name like pansy, you've got to be tough.
That's right.
Winter pansies and violas get planted now and flourish and flower, then rebloom again in early spring. Isn't that wonderful?
It's amazing. See, yeah. That's why they're tough. Get through the winter.
Yeah.
Nothing to keep them warm, but the cold, cold ground.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, Julio, what is the difference between a viola And a pansy.
The size of the flower.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, that was easy.
It was.
They also are a little more upright, where they get covered in more flowers. Mm-hmm. So they're smaller, but they, you know, it's almost like roses. Like some roses you have, like a hybrid tea roses. So the it's where you pay attention to the just the flower, mm-hmm. where a floribunda or a shrub rose, you pay attention to the entire plant. And violas are one of those that you just pay attention to the entire plant and all the little flowers on them, where pansy, you zone in and zero in right on the actual individual flowers.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That helpful?
Yeah, it does.
That's right. But the color ranges for violas have really increased to where they're... It used to be... They're also known as Johnny Jump-Ups.
Johnny Jump-Ups.
That's an old name.
Oh, yeah? Why?
That's an old name.
They jump up or what?
Well, because they are upright.
Oh, yeah.
They look like they're jumping out of the soil.
Yeah, it does look like it.
Where it used to be, you only could get them field dug and...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know me. I always go down memory lane.
I know you always do.
Back in the day, when I was a kid.
Yeah, when you were a little guy.
Anyway. But pansies are twice the size, like 2 inches to 3 inches across. You want a grower's secret?
Yeah, go ahead.
The smaller the flower on a pansy sometimes means that they are using a growth retardant to get them to flower sooner.
Oh, boy. How about that?
Yeah, growers are going to send you hate mail.
Oh, they are?
Anyway, but it's true because we want to plant in August and
September. Right.
And really, they can be planted now and be enjoyed all the way through into December. Mm-hmm. And pansies are incredible. I was telling you about how I planted some pansies.
You did, yes.
And I put bulbs underneath them first. Mm-hmm. And that, so it's actually, I used a pink flowering tulip, early flowering, so that when it gets a cover over top of them, and often the second season, what I mean by that, the fall is really nice, but they spread out and they'll fill out in the spring and be super full, and now there's going to be pink tulips that are going to grow through them while they're in flower, and they were blue pansies that I put underneath them, so they're going to look awesome.
Yeah, that's a great, that like layering, isn't it?
It's exactly what it
is. You know, it's amazing we can do that.
Yep, and you can plant in almost full shade. I wouldn't go complete shade, but the thought is that it's maybe shade right now because the leaves are starting to turn. There's leaves in the trees. But in springtime, those leaves are gone. And now those pansies are in full bloom, in full sun, and that they'll stay good.
Isn't that nice?
Now, okay. But they're not. Pansies aren't a true perennial, correct?
That's correct.
And it's the heat that does them in.
Yeah, they don't like the heat at all.
So if you've planted pansies in the spring expecting them to look great in August, sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, they're going to look nice until it gets real warm, soil temperatures get a little too hot, and they just kind of wilt away. Sometimes if you put them in shade, they may do okay, but they always seem like they're under stress.
Yeah.
So now is the real time to plant.
Yeah, this is great.
Benefits of two flowering seasons. Again, when there's not a lot of things in flower.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
It is. And and again, try that, you know, layering effect.
Yeah, that's going to work really nice.
All right, I do this every time we talk about pansies, right? Ready?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right, those of you looking on YouTube, you can enjoy this. Yeah. So, flower in mouth. Yes.
Yep, look at that.
Okay, who needs to talk?
Well, Leonard's very hungry right now.
Pansies are edible.
Yeah, that's right.
Edible flowers.
Mm-hmm. You put them in where now?
You can put them as a garnish.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Put them in salads.
Oh.
I like the idea of you take a Johnny Jump-Up flower, you put it in a, to make it into an ice cube, so that when you put it into drinks, that
Look at that. It looks really fancy. Cool.
Yeah,
fancy,
well, you know. That's me.
I know.
That's me. I'm bougie, I'm told.
Is that what it is?
Daniel's daughter, Lexi, says, you're bougie. I didn't know what that means at first, but I found out that it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, that's good.
I thought she was swearing at me at first.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, when you're planting your pansies, you want to use bumper crop, right?
Yes, of course.
Why do they want to use bumper crop?
Because the soil has to be amended, so they have good drainage, number one.
Right.
And they're going to get some nutrients in the root systems.
That's right. Pansies do not want to be in a soggy, wet area. Yeah. You want to have good drainage, so make sure you don't skimp when you go to plant them.
No, don't.
You know, it's so important because a lot of people think that, oh, it's fall, we can put them in anywhere. And all of a sudden, that didn't work. And it doesn't work because they didn't get the drainage that they need. Yeah. So remember, you're going to make sure that you give them lots and lots of drainage. Should I mulch them to protect them in the winter? Would that help?
I would think so, yes. It's another layer.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah. But you know what they can use? They can just leave a little bit of the bumper crop and just put that on the surface of the soil.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to improve their soil. And to be honest with you, I don't want to say this because I'm a retailer and I want to sell you a bumper crop. But that bumper crop that's there will be the soil amendment for the annuals that you put in to replace them in the spring. So you won't have to do it again. You just turn it over and you create that planting bed.
Yeah, so that's a great benefit in it.
Yeah, people ask, how long are they going to flower? They're going to flower as long as the winter winds don't burn their flowers off. And that's what really stops them.
The culprit,
If we get that 20 to 30 degree weather and all of a sudden it's real windy and they're not in a protected spot, they're going to basically stop flowering because the plant will still be there and you'll see the leaves, but the flowers will just basically burn off. They don't like to be in that winter wind like a lot of our plants.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and that they'll end up going semi-dormant over the winter. Mm-hmm. You'll see the foliage may turn a little purpley, and that they're just kind of resting. Mm-hmm. They're saying, all right, our energy's in our roots, and that when the soil temperatures get a little warmer, usually in March, we're going to start to flower again. It's going to look, they're going to just come back to life. And I know that I put some in window boxes and on a deck on a second floor.
Second floor.
And they look great until that winter comes. And then you think it's like, I should have never done that. You feel like you're euthanizing your poor pansies.
Oh,
they've got it bad enough with that name.
Yeah.
Boy Named Sue, right? Do you know the song Boy Named Sue?
Boy Named Sue, yeah.
All right. Anyway, with a plant like a pansy, they do come back. And when it comes back in the spring, it just is like a breath of fresh air. So again, but it's all about the soil temperatures. And they do better in spring. So
you're in the spring, yeah.
As great as they look right now, they're going to look even better.
Can you imagine?
I can. Yeah. Lived it.
Lived it. You old man, you.
That's right. So remember the tip about planting bulbs underneath. You have to plant the bulbs first. Okay. More about that in our segments coming up. But you have to plant the bulbs first, and then you plant the pansies right on top.
Wow. So you like it.
We like it. Pansies and violas. Great choices for right now. I know everybody's mum crazy, you know, but mum crazy, everybody.
The king of mums.
Yeah, it's like their commodity.
Yes.
You know, it's like lukewarm water.
Yeah.
There you go. How nice.
How nice that is.
All right. Send your hate mail. Julio Zamora, care of bloomersinthegarden.com.
All those people out there, go right ahead.
I don't know. I'm sick of mums. You sick of mums?
Oh, yeah.
Pansies are a great alternative.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant, paired with the perfect container, can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. And, hey, Abelia. Julio, you and I were talking the other day about how fantastic they look right now. We had a block of, like, 20 plants.
Yes, we do.
They're covered in flowers. So much, in fact, that you couldn't even see the variegated foliage underneath.
Yeah, I know.
Double bonus.
It is.
One of the longest flowering plants in the landscape. Mm-hmm. You know, people, how many times do you get it? Each weekend. I want something that flowers all summer.
All summer. Yeah, how long
does
it last?
And then you tell them roses. No, roses, no, they're too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was reading an article that said about Abelia. If there was one plant that I was going to put at a gas station next to the parking lot, it would be an Abelia. You know, so that would be it.
Oh, my
gosh. Abelia are incredible landscape plants. Well-drained.
Well-drained, yes.
But will tolerate
clay,
damp, or dry soils.
There you go.
What else is left?
Nothing else.
I mean, tolerates pollution. Back to the gas station plant.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, along different roads, like if there were even a mass planting on a highway, things like that, hopefully your yard isn't in a pollution zone. But if it was, you could easily plant Abelia.
Pollution is Abelia. Everywhere. Yeah, really.
Not Lobelia. Abelia.
With an A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, is it a pollinator, Julio?
It's a pollinator, folks.
A pollinator.
Yes, for hummingbirds and butterflies.
And, of course, bees. I mean, anything with flower, bees.
That's right.
Bees are going to be attracted to.
Yeah, that's right.
But not, you know, unduly so. It's not like we have hornets all over them.
Yeah.
There are some plants where all of a sudden you get those scary black hornets that are climbing on them.
What is that?
Yes. Anyway.
Some hydrangeas, I get that.
Excellent. Abelia is an excellent shrub for the pollinator garden because they also have different shapes. There's the one that we were talking about. What variety did you tell me that was?
It's called Funshine.
Fun shine, fun, F-U-N,
P-W.
Shine,
yep.
proven winner. Yep. I'm not growling anymore. I used to say proven winner with disgust. Another one. Yeah. But actually their breeding is pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Even when we were recently at that field day for Centerton Nursery. Even they have finally said, all right, we got to take them. So,
that's right.
You know, But it also is different where your proven winners are grown. I mean, our proven winners are always grown from the best growers, so the plants are beautiful.
Beautiful, yes.
But the one that you see may be the same variety, but it's not the same quality or the same, yeah. You know, the same size. So your local garden center is going to be where to go. And look, if you're looking for where to find proven winter plants, they will have on their website a link that will be a like garden center finder.
Garden center finder, yeah.
But let's talk about Abelia.
Yeah.
Abelia is Abelia grandiflora, okay? Don't want to confuse anybody. Abelia grandiflora is more of an upright variety that will get to be about 4 feet or so, not real wide. It also, that same grandiflora has also an Edward Goucher. Edward Goucher was introduced in 1911.
Wow.
And what made it so great is because it has a pink flower, more pink. Yeah. Most of the Abelias are like a blush pink. This is a pink. It looks pink. 2 to 3 foot, and it can grow as much as 5 in warmer climate zones. But I guess it's the funnel shaped flowers, and again, that's why they are such a great pollinator. And the lower varieties, like Kaleidoscope. Kaleidoscope is a variety of Abelia where the leaves are variegated yellow.
Ooh.
And it's very similar to the variety, the proven winter variety.
Yes.
What's the name of that variety again?
Funshine.
There you go. And again, it's like sunshine. It has yellow and it has a green through the leaf, smaller leaf. And it looks great. Even when it's not in flower.
Yeah.
Semi-evergreen. You know, in the last segment, we were talking about pansies, where if they're given a little more protection, they're going to flower longer.
Right.
Abelia are similar in the way that they are evergreen or deciduous, that in a more southern zone, they're more evergreen. Protected from winter winds, they're more evergreen. But again, I would consider them semi-evergreen. Because again, colder winters are going to determine whether they're in flower or whether they're in leaf or not. So it can grow anywhere. You've seen that any of the soil types, it can grow pretty much anywhere. What about sun, Julio? How much sun do they need?
You can have it in full sun or part shade, either or.
It's pretty wide.
Yeah, pretty wide.
Yeah, that's pretty wide. I mean, part shade, when we say part shade, we're talking about 3 hours sun a day.
Yeah.
It could be filtered sun all day. It could be under dappled sun underneath a tree. So you could plant it almost
anywhere. Yeah, it's wonderful.
How about bugs? They get lots of bugs.
Bugs? B-U-G-S? No, I don't get many bugs.
No. Again, you know, it's really, there's no insects or disease problems.
No, nothing at all.
They're an incredible plant, and we can't say enough about
them. They must have an armor or something, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Again, it's simple. Simple.
Wonderful.
You'll go out to your local garden center this weekend. A lot of people are having sales. Yeah. And that you want to see if they have any Abelia. Did we put ours on sale?
I don't remember.
We talked about it.
No, you did.
They might be.
Oh, yeah.
But your local garden center should have them because they are going to look spectacular this time of the year.
Yeah.
You can use them as a foundation plant in front of your house.
Yes.
Looks great. Taller varieties can be borders or hedges.
So, you know, that's
more the grandiflora, the Edward Goucher. So it's going to be one of those hedges that are between your home, like to cover up maybe a, you know, say a metal fence or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mixed in, it's great. How about a perennial garden? Would you put one in a perennial garden?
I would. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the dwarf color, dwarf variety that has the colored leaf?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's amazing on their adaptability, but also on how little people know what they are. And that we've always had them.
Always had them.
Always. But between, they look like different plants.
They do.
They look like, because the dwarf variety looks almost like a golden euonymus ground cover, and the taller variety looks kind of like an azalea PJM kind of thing.
Would you say right now they're like, at their like...
Most floriferous?
Yes. or, you know, they're like shining right now.
It is. The cooler temperatures being a little drier, just like roses. Anybody having a rebirth of their roses?
I think
mine
so.
Are.
Yeah.
Mine are.
Oh, yeah.
Where you don't have the disease issues, you don't have the heat and the humidity that's affecting the amount of flowers they produce. Exactly. So it's a great time.
Great time.
Again, continuous flower from early summer, late spring, all the way through into the first frost.
Oh, yeah. And it has a great scent, too, by the way.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, because, you know, that's one thing I forgot. I mean, I can't.
Oh, yeah. If you go up to it.
Yeah.
A little sweetness.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Unless it's in the.
What's wrong with this plant? Nothing.
No, there isn't anything.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be right back in our next segment talking about daffodils in our next segment. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide contains bifenthrin, which is a highly recommended product to control the spotted lanternfly. Available as both a ready-to-use and a concentrate, they are a water-based, low-odor, non-staining insecticide formulation. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used indoors or outdoors. It provides up to 4 months residual control indoors and up to 6 weeks residual control outdoors. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide kills a wide variety of insects, including fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, roaches, ants, spiders, earwigs, crickets, and grasshoppers. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used around the perimeter of the home, on lawns, trees, shrubs, flowers, and even vegetables. So, the next time you visit your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide and expect to have the best-looking plants and landscape in the neighborhood.
Neighbors Garden Center, Main Street, Hellertown, PA. Rhodes Garden, Delcab Pike, North Wales, Pennsylvania. Rourke Farm Supply, Elmer, New Jersey. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, folks, it's time to be thinking about planting fall bulbs right now, okay, which are actually spring flowering. Don't get confused. We'll help you get through starting with daffodils, huh, Len?
That's right. Yeah. All right, need to learn something. It's a $10 word.
$10 word.
Called vernalization.
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 Yeah, that is a $10 word.
Hey, last week we were talking about amaryllis, right?
Yes, we were.
And about putting them in your refrigerator?
That's great.
That's a vernalization
right
there.
Yeah.
Vernalization is the introduction of a plant's flowering process that you have to expose it to a prolonged period of cold. And that after that vernalization period, you're going to sound so smart.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens is that cues the plant to saying, oh, time for me to flower.
Yep, that's it.
Time for me to flower. So if you've ever wondered is how do bulbs know when to flower and when not to flower, it's all about that cold. And that a lot of plants require that. There are trees, that flowering trees require that.
Right.
But mostly in the bulb world.
That's where you see it.
That's where you'll see it. Mm-hmm. So daffodils. Talk about daffodils. I have a bag of daffodils right here.
A big bag.
Also narcissus. That narcissus. Would include that.
Yeah.
Paper whites are probably the most popular narcissus, I guess. So daffodils. Dutch master are the typical yellow daffodils that you see. Mm-hmm. Go to your local garden center and buy your bulbs. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's
There's a reason why.
because Home Depot and Lowe's puts them right under where that door opens up and the heater's on all the time and it dries them out. And then you get them and you say, I can't grow bulbs.
So go
to your local garden center because, Julio, you said it this morning. You said, look at the size of those tulip bulbs.
Oh, yes, they're huge.
There's different sizes to bulbs. Yeah. That there's something called top size. Top size is like getting the big steak. You know, it's
juicy.
It's the best you can get.
Yes.
Like shrimp. You know how shrimp, it's like it says like how many you get and so many.
Right.
You get the big ones.
Big ones. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and that's the same thing with tulips and daffodils. You go for the top size bulbs because all of that energy and flower power is in those
inside.
Big bulbs.
Yeah.
A lot of the little bulbs are called bulblets.
Bulblets.
And they really don't produce anything. You might get some leaves, maybe get lucky with a flower or two, but you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
So make sure you're going for top size bulbs. Your local garden center is going to have them. Make sure that on the value pack bulbs, you always see those. Value pack.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Always do, yeah.
Yeah, my own nationality, Dutch people are cheap. They know they try to package everything left. You know, they give you, they cut off the tops and the leaves and put them in a bag and say, look, cuttings.
Oh, my gosh.
So you want to go with the largest size. It's going to cost you a little bit more money, but it's going to be
well worth it.
A huge value as far as the flowers. How tall? Now, this is going to confuse Julio.
Oh, my gosh.
Ready?
You ready.
All right. We should get a bell for, like, game show.
Ding, ding, ding.
Julio. How tall do daffodils get?
Depends on what variety they are.
Oh, son of a gun. He got it right on the first go. You won $100.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Not really. There's dwarf daffodils.
That's right. Tete-a-tetes.
Right. Ooh. Yeah. Whip that out. What? Did that hurt?
It's French.
Yeah. So, which is a dwarf daffodil, and they have a little bit smaller flowers, but very cute, very, cute. Very pretty, very dainty. Some place where you would put them would be where you'd look at them closer up, like along a walkway or someplace where you're near it. Daffodils that you look for from a distance are going to be the standard daffodils. Like, again, the variety that I have all over me here because the bag is letting the
like 100 of them
the coating that's around that. And one thing, that coating that's around, they make them look like a potato.
Yeah, it's like a wax.
You want to make sure that that's still intact.
Right.
If you see a bag of bulbs and it doesn't have that papery coating,
paper.
You want to just leave them there. Okay. Just saying. But again, Dutch Master is the larger full-size daffodils that you picture at Easter.
Right.
And that those are great when you see them from a distance because it looks like a mass planting. You certainly can do them up close, but it's going to give you a better texture. And what do we say about landscape? Landscaping correctly is color, texture, and form. And that both these win on all accounts when you're planting them, say, on a berm in a landscape bed or in a pocket that's in the backyard or someplace that's a little bit different from where you are. Daffodils aren't always yellow.
Yeah.
That there are different varieties that are completely white. Okay, that's Mount Hood. Is that
Hood.
Variety? And Mount Hood is actually a mountain in Washington State.
Yeah.
And where all white, pure white.
Pure white. Wow.
But then there's a white that has a yellow.
In the center.
Center, right. Mm-hmm. Then there's the cup is yellow, and then you have another one.
That's pretty.
Is orange, and then you have another one that... where there's all kinds of different colors.
Some are ruffled and some
aren't. More ruffled than others. So look before you go and leap and just grab the big bag, because the big bag's cheap. Like, again, we have 40 daffodils here, and at Bloomers we sell them for $16.99. Mm-hmm. So it's not that inexpensive. You know, it's not that they cost a lot, but you have to always check. Whenever you see a deal, make sure they're the bigger bulbs, because they go in with the smaller bulbs. You might have a better value in flower power if you got the bigger bulb in the bag that was like only maybe 3 or 4 in a bag, or even if they were loose. Sometimes bulbs are sold loose. Just make sure you're just getting the biggest bulb possible. That's it.
Yeah.
Drop the mic. But again, daffodils are also beneficial because they repel Deer resistant.
Yes, rodents.
Those of you up in North Jersey, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Somehow North Jersey has got not only deer in urban centers, but now it's getting bears.
Oh, yeah. We
I don't get it.
Jimmy D's said that to us.
That's right. Jimmy D's watching a bear cross his road, but he's way up there near Lake Apakong. But being deer resistant, you can grow them without fear of your deer wiping them out before they ever flower. Yeah. So plant daffodils. Plant daffodils. I'm just going to give you a heads up. They have what's in them, and that it's like a little oil. And sometimes you can get, some people have get a rash from it.
Oh, yeah.
Put on your gloves, go ahead and plant with your gloves on.
Yeah, you should.
Soil, it's perfect for a shrub bed where they like it a little bit acidic, just like your azaleas would, like rhododendrons, like dogwoods. Perfect. They want drainage, though. You can't put them where it's wet. Ooh.
No.
They'll rot. And again, waterlogged soil, they're just going to, you're just going to basically turn them into compost. So make sure that you're just paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. Julio, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, when you're planting, you want to make sure you put a little bit of organic matter, like the bulb tone in there.
So fertilizer, bulb tone,
yeah.
And organic matter would be bumper crop.
Bumper crop, yeah.
Yep, so plant them. Yep, and you're going to... And a rule of thumb, where we're going to bring this up with tulips, is you're going to go twice the depth of the bulb. So you're going to dig down, put, I guess, three times the depth of the bulb. You're going to make a third of it in bumper crop. You're going to do the next third is going to take up space where it's the bulb. And then the last third is going to be what you put over top of that bulb. And then sprinkle a little bit of Espoma bulb tone on top. Mm-hmm. They will love that.
Oh, yeah.
They'll love that.
Do that in the spring, too.
That's right. So you hit it twice.
Yes.
You hit it twice. Because next year, you're going to forget where they're planted.
That's right.
Anyway. All right. Julio, anything to add?
No. I think it's going to be great having a naturalized area or in your beds. And just
Nothing says spring. Nothing says spring.
Nothing
says
spring, yeah. I mean, you're getting it early. You got color. You want flowers. There you go.
Yep. Beautiful. All right. We'll be back in the garden with tulips.
Oh.
In our next segment. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center is dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds. We carry a flock of feeders like the Brome Squirrel Proof Feeder, which has a lifetime guarantee. Brome makes fantastic feeders for frustrating squirrels and feeding songbirds. Bloomers Bird Sanctuary has a vast selection of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. We carry Lyric, Coles, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and our own line called Bloomers Blend. Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet contains premium black oil sunflower, peanut splits, millet, safflower, and tree nuts. It's sure to attract the most colorful songbirds to your yard. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Visit us online at www.bloomers.com. When you come in, ask for Shirley Spurbeck, Bloomers Wild Bird Specialist. Mention you heard it on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, and we'll give you $10 off a 20-pound bag of Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet Mix.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. As a self-respecting Dutchman, but when it's Oktoberfest, I'm German, so I'm a combination, okay?
A little bit of both.
But as my Dutch side, I personally love tulips.
Oh, yes.
We plant 7,000 tulips every other year front of bloomers.
Mm-hmm.
The tulip color range is pretty much off the charts. It has everything but a true blue. They're just amazing in that you'll certainly find a variety that you'll love.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to give you a little bit of a tip, okay, on how to pick out those, to make sure that, like, you don't pick all a bunch of different kinds and end up where there's one flower in here and there's another flower in, like, 6 weeks later.
Right.
So on the package of bulbs or on the box of bulbs, it will say whether your tulips are early, mid-spring, or late spring. You got to think about that because early spring could be March, April. Mm-hmm. Mid is going to be April, May. And late can be as late as late May.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to be putting annuals in late May. So you got to start thinking. It's like, I don't know. The colors and tulips are off the charts.
They are.
Different color combinations, like a red and a yellow. We have that orange variety.
Orange, yeah.
Where it opens. I had someone say to us one time, it's like, did you replant all your tulips? Because when they were driving by, they were bright yellow.
Right.
And then they fade.
Fade off.
And they turn to orange.
Yeah.
And that happens to a lot of our shrubs.
How about
hydrangeas are like that?
Oh,
same
way.
The paniculata varieties always go from like a white and then go to like
chartreuse.
A pink.
Yeah.
So, again, tulips, look for your colors. Narrow down, zone in on your colors. Then zone in to see if it's early, mid, or late. Because there's something that's most important. We want you to have success with your bulbs, not only this year, but next year. And folks, you're only going to get 2 years out of tulips. Some people say, I can keep them growing. It's like, no, you can't. If you think you really can keep your tulips going year after year after year after year, you must be digging them up, splitting them, dividing them, doing it every other year.
Yeah, they don't last.
Because you get two flowering cycles, the first year and then the second year. But there's things that you need to do, and we're going to explain in a second. After that, they end up splitting and dividing, and where you end up with, we mentioned it before, bulblets, which are the small bulbs. That's how you get more tulip bulbs. And what happens is those end up coming up, and they're just leaves. And then there's no flowers. And then you call the show, and you say, my tulips never bloom.
Oh, no.
So, again, they're plants.
Not puppies.
So you're after that second year, when you go to plant your new crop, and then also you get to change your colors, but then you'll be able to dig them up, throw them to the trash man, or put them in the compost. Yeah, I wouldn't put them. Yeah. I don't know. Compost pile, maybe. Yeah, they get funky.
Yeah.
But again, you want to make sure that you're going to get 2 years out of them.
That's not bad.
But to get them to be as pretty the second year as they were the first, you've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
When tulips flower, and the petals are wide open, and it's starting to heat up, and all of a sudden those petals fall off, and the tulip's done flowering.
Boom.
It's not going to wilt, but it will leave this little, what would you call that, on the top of a tulip. Somebody's going to call and be snobby about that. Yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's called a thing.
A thing, right?
What happens, it's the inside of the tulip, and the petals fall off, and that remains. You want to take that and just snap it off.
Take it off.
Okay? Put those in the trash, compost pile, that's fine. But with that, that little tab will make the difference by removing it, that it will flower again. And that, I always think of it this way, is like, think of it as a fountain. Like the fountain goes on, then you turn it off, and it goes back into the container, or it goes back into the lake or whatever you want to call it. Every time you put that flower power up and it looks like a fountain and it's different flowers as far as the tulips go, and then you go and it stops, all of that energy, like a fountain, goes back into the bowl.
Back down again.
To go and produce more flowers next year.
Next year. Yeah.
If you leave that little tag on the top of that plant, on the top of the flower spike, where the flower was, that it will divide and it will become bulblets, like we talked about just a bit ago.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you nip that off right after the petals fall, but don't cut the foliage.
No.
Don't cut the foliage. And this is a drawback, but it's got to be done. As beautiful as those tulips were, if you avoid this and try to cut them down right away, you're not going to have success. You have to let those leaves turn yellow. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But
they've got to
go and get that energy back into the bowl. Mm-hmm. And you've got to let the foliage turn yellow. And then after it's yellow, you can just do a little twist at the base of the soil, and that you can pull out the leaves and everything else come right out nice and easy. But again, you've got to let that foliage turn yellow. Think of it as that fountain, like I explained. Flower goes up, then the flower power goes back
down
into the bulb after the leaves are yellow.
Right.
Then it's back in that thing that looked like a potato. So again, make sure you do that, and you will have all kinds of success. One thing, make sure you feed it, right? Again?
Right. Again, yeah.
What are we using, Julio?
Espoma bulbtone.
And you do it at planting time,
right?
And that you want to use the same way that we described planting a daffodil. It's going to be three times, the hole is three times the size of the bulb. But again, the first third is going to be backfilled. Then the next third is going to be the actual bulb that takes up that space. And then you put soil over top of it. Essential to do. You're going to add espoma bulb tone to it. They'll be absolutely beautiful. It's a little hard to understand, but let me explain what we do at Bloomers. Is that we literally take out a like 10 square foot amount of soil so that the planting bed is level, then put the bumper crop in, then place all the tulips, and then put the soil back on to the section that we just pulled out. We're doing 7,000 bulbs, so we're literally removing all of the soil that's in those beds and putting it on top of the plant like 10 feet at a time.
Wow.
So it makes them all come up uniformly. They look fantastic. And it's, if you've got a large bed to do, that's what to do. Otherwise, you know, just use one of those funky bulb planters. Again, I don't know. I'm a shovel person.
You're a shovel guy.
Anyway, and just make sure you use the bulb tone, because that will also help feed that.
Oh, yes.
You're feeding the bulb for next year.
Mm-hmm.
For next year.
Okay. Can't have it.
Anything to add?
Everybody go out there and put your bulbs in, because you're going to have flowers early.
And you're going to see them in the spring, and you're going to say, can I have some tulips?
Yeah, it's too late.
Too late.
Yeah.
Too late. So it's doing it right now. Local Garden Center. Again, the Local Garden Center has the bulbs that you want.
Great
the
variety.
Right size, well taken care of, maintained, kept cool, not thrown under the heater when you exit.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it. Get your Local Garden Center this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Stoffers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. We received a call on a Bloomers in the Garden hotline asking us to help with a wisteria that refuses to bloom. Listen to her call.
Hello. My question is, I've been trying to grow a wisteria plant, you know, bush for I don't know how long, and I bought three different wisteria bushes, and they get green and hardy, but no flowers. I just had a question about that. Bye-bye.
No problem.
No problem.
If they are planted in the middle of your lawn, you are putting down lawn fertilizer, and that is too much nitrogen.
Nitrogen, yeah.
They do not like nitrogen.
No, they don't.
Wisteria are in the pea family, P-E-A.
P-E-A.
And that will take the soil and creates its own nitrogen in the soil. Legume, okay?
Yeah,
like, for instance,
yeah.
That we talk as a cover crop.
Right.
Using peas that will add nitrogen to the soil.
The soil, yeah.
So you do not need to add nitrogen to the wisteria. So that's first
that's
thing.
Right, yep.
Second thing, if it is in an area, try to avoid it. Second, need to add Espoma triple phosphate, triple superphosphate. And that it's a three numbers on the back, NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Yes. What your wisteria is craving is the phosphorus, and that's a low number in most bags where you need it to be the higher number, all right? I guess there's a couple other things that you can do, depending on how long they've been there. What root pruning, Julio, could you explain what root pruning is?
Yeah, it's not easy to do, but we'll...
but it's essential.
Essential, yeah. I mean, I think it's really going to help her out. And root pruning, what it is, you're going to take your spade and you're going to go at least 3 feet around your plant and dig down, and you're going to be cutting those roots with your spade.
Right.
So that's going to make that happen to where it's going to have, you know, the plant release, you know, the nitrogen in there. And
it's going to absorb the
phosphorus
elements, but it's also going to produce a younger plant. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like Julio said, it's not easy.
3 foot out from your wisteria, yeah, as long if it's an old one, let's just put it probably that way, that you're going to go a foot down and you're going to rock that spade back and forth. It's almost as if you're going to be digging it up out of the ground and putting it in burlap. You're going to do basically the same function along the sides of it. And that the best thing that I would do is do that, root prune it, then go and take the triple superphosphate, and you're going to put that around that spot where you put that spade. And it should flower.
It should, yeah.
Now, if you still have a problem, get out your pruners and just prune the snot out of it. You're just going to prune it back hard, and then you're going to force it and to say, hey, flower, get out. Because it's going to be one of those things where wisteria do this all the time, and most of the time it's from too much nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it's just if you're having that much of an issue with it, cutting it back hard, but you're not going to see the results. Don't cut it back hard and think you're going to see it in the spring.
Right away,
It's going to take them almost a year and a half to be able to see those results. So not the first blooming cycle, because they all bloom in spring, but it's the second year.
Yeah.
So after you cut it back, it's not going to be like, if I cut it back in, say, March, I'm going to see flowers in May. No, you aren't. Yeah. That you're going to have to wait the entire next season. Yeah. If you cut it in the fall, you're going to have to wait not for spring, because they flower on their old wood.
Yeah, that's it. And you cut it all out.
Right. And again, you've got to wait till the new wood that grows becomes old wood before they're flower. So that's going to take a year or longer. So just take some patience.
Yeah. All.
If you love wisteria, that's what it'll take. Mm-hmm. All right. If you've got any other questions, please call the hotline, 609-685-1880. We'll answer your questions. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. 1880, and we'll see you in the garden.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider, or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB, and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Lots to learn today.
Oh, a lot to
bulbs.
Learn.
Mm-hmm. Vernalization. Bulbs.
Vernalization.
Big word. Hey, I want to welcome Aaron Thompson to the Bloomers family.
Hey,
welcome, Aaron. Aaron is handling all of our social media. And those of you looking on YouTube, it's all him.
Yes, it's all him.
Absolutely. His family moved from North Jersey.
Correct.
North Jersey guy. Yeah. Aaron, welcome.
Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you very much. Hey. Glad to be a part of the family. Thank you very much, guys.
Aaron's looking for a Baptist church. The WMTR people out there, if you got any suggestions, call the hotline.
There you go.
Amen. Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
All right. Hey, don't forget to call or text the hotline with any of your gardening questions, 609-685-1880. Leave your question and we'll call you back with the answer.
Yes, we will. Hey, when you are out in your garden centers, let them know that we listen to yeah. Bloomers in the Garden.
That's right. Listen, we'll see you right here at the same time next week right here in the garden.
See you in the garden.